KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Washington State Senator Jean Cole Wells is at the forefront of the effort to stop human trafficking. She's joining us to talk about what's been done, how it's working, and what needs to be done. Jean Cole Wells has represented the 36th Legislative District in Seattle since 1994, and she sponsored many anti-trafficking bills. She serves on the University of Washington's Human Trafficking Task Force, and she is an adjunct faculty member at the UW. She teaches courses in women's studies, sociology, and education. Jean Cole Wells is part of the Humanities Washington Speakers Bureau for the next couple of years, and she'll be talking to audiences around the state about this issue. You've been working on this for a long time. We've talked about it in the past, about some of your specific efforts. What got you involved in this issue, Jean Cole Wells?
Well, that's an interesting story. We've had 10 years of legislation in Washington State, dating back to 2002. And what really propelled my interest, as well as those of former Representative Velma Valoria and others from the University of Washington to the Women's Center, were a number of things. One is we started putting together the pieces of a real puzzle. We had noticed separately together that there had been people brought in on container ships in the 1990s. Many found dead, many found maimed in serious medical condition, and were they smuggled into the state of Washington and our port, the closest to Asia, or were they brought here for unsavory means by others? That's up to conjecture. But we also had some incidents that were really horrific, and those were of three mail order brides, two of whom had been murdered by their husbands, and the other one was in horrible involuntary servitude. So we started looking at that, and then coincidentally, in the mid-1990s, when I went to the Senate in 1995, I got interested in the issue of what I could do legislatively relating to juveniles who were involved in prostitution. And there had been studies done of a high correlation with young teens and adolescents who were in prostitution, including here in the U District, who had been sexually abused as younger children. And so we were looking at the links there. So I started working legislatively on that back in 1995, and then seriously when we started thinking about human trafficking in 2002.
What's the definition of human trafficking?
There's a federal definition, and we have a very similar one in our statutes here in Washington State. Basically, the recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or other obtaining of a person for labor or services through the use of force, fraud, or coercion for the purpose of subjection to involuntary servitude, peonage, debt bondage, or slavery. Now, since then, sex trafficking has really gained momentum in terms of recognition of something that we can deal with in a public policy way. And sex trafficking is usually what we think of in terms of prostitution, but very specifically in statute is a commercial sex act also induced by force, fraud, or coercion in which the person induced to perform such an act has not attained 18 years of age.
Mm-hmm. To deal with child prostitution.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, do we, by its very nature, this is surreptitious, this is underground, this is hidden away, do we have any idea of the size of the problem?
It's very difficult to know the size of the problem because many people are very fearful of coming forward. So documentation is a major issue. The U.S. Department of State, through its Office for Combating and Monitoring Human Trafficking, does issue a report annually in terms of what goes on in the United States, but also in terms of other countries. And we are, as a country, a destination country primarily. There are transit countries where people are brought through, as well as source countries where people are brought from. But if we look at Washington State now and we recognize that there's domestic traveling as well as international trafficking, that people are brought through states, from states, and to states. And Washington is viewed as not only a destination state, but a transit and now state that's an origin state as well.
So much of this involves sex trafficking.
Yes.
Do you think that the men who are going to prostitutes who have been brought here through human trafficking, who are obviously subjected to physical coercion, do they know what's going on when they go to these women?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of motives, but I was kind of appalled to read in the Seattle Times today that the city of Everett is celebrating the first brothels and taverns or saloons, you know, in its history. Now, it's interesting, but then we get at to this whole issue of what it seems titillating, how we can romanticize the past, and should we be romanticizing brothels? They did exist, mm-hmm. and they're reflected in literature and a lot of humanities, which is what my talk is about.
Yeah.
But is it something to celebrate?
Yeah.
And so why do people go to brothels? Was it back in the mid-1800s? Because there were mainly men here. If you look at Seattle, there were seven or so men for every woman, one woman here. So there was an attempt to provide some entertainment for men. And the first brothel in Washington State opened up in the early 1860s.
Sure. Now, there are female sex workers who do it of their own volition, are there not?
Of course.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's another thing to get into. Why should we be doing anything to address the situation when women or men are voluntarily entering a sex work occupation or profession, however you want to call it? And that there's a point to be made with that. But I still believe, from my research and my understanding, that there is some type of exploitation going on and frequently manipulation. And once we look at an adult woman, but was she a child? Was she an adolescent when she was really coerced and manipulated to become involved in sex work? And if we look at minors specifically, by definition in state law, minors cannot be involved legally in any mm-hmm. sex work. Well, either can adults,
sure.
actually. So we have very strict laws now, starting from 2007, creating a new crime, commercial sexual abuse of a minor. And that replaced the statute at that time of patronizing a juvenile prostitute. So the onus has shifted.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with State Senator Jean Cole Wells, and human trafficking, the subjection of underage girls to prostitution, has been really one of her focuses in the state legislature. And you've alluded to some of the laws which you've been instrumental in getting passed. But do we know whether they're accomplishing anything? We started out by talking about how hard it is to figure out the dimensions of the problem. So it must be hard to figure out after the laws have passed whether the problem's gotten smaller.
Yes, that is true. We don't know if the problem is getting smaller or if people are recognizing it more, so it seems like it's getting larger. But we do know that there are now arrests made and there are sentencings that are going on. In fact, a current one that was brought out in the press last Saturday, the U.S. Attorney's Office says that two men who used Backpage.com, which is a mm-hmm. related issue I've worked on, to advertise sex with women have been sentenced to federal prison on sex trafficking charges. And then locally, not at federal level, we've had several people now under the court jurisdiction. And one person last year was sentenced to 26 years in prison for commercial sexual exploitation of a minor.
You know, you mentioned commercial exploitation. These are businesses. These are people who are taking advantage of women in order to make money. Do we have any insight into them as businesses? Are they lucrative businesses? Are they big businesses? Are they small businesses?
It probably varies. There's probably a range, but there's reason to believe now that sex trafficking and labor trafficking, they're on a continuum here, reflect the number two business in the world in terms of exploitation.
In the world?
In the world. That human trafficking is the number two industry. It's global,
mm-hmm.
Behind drug trafficking. But here, when we talk about commercial sexual abuse of a minor, we're mainly talking about pimps and smaller groups that are really getting into grooming and inducing young kids to get involved.
We're 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. Or write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. If you're interested in finding out about human trafficking, my guest today knows about probably as much about it as anyone in our state, State Senator Jean Cole Wells, who's been working on it for quite a long time. You know, there's foreign sex trafficking, bringing women or people in from abroad, and there's also the domestic side of it. Do we have any idea of how much it's happening within our country, within our state?
Well, within our state, if you're talking about sex trafficking, we know that we're particularly vulnerable for several reasons. One, we're the closest ports to Asia. We have an international border in Canada. We also have, unfortunately, a thriving sex business or industry here, particularly in the Puget Sound. And we have background in our history on that as well. And so the Seattle Police Department has been working to find out, you know, who is vulnerable. They actually look at Backpage.com, where there are ads, which are supposed to be for, you know, adults, not minors. But also we know that through FBI efforts in Operation Rescue type of things, that Seattle has one of the highest number of minors who are rescued each year from prostitution. But otherwise, it's really hard to know. We think there are about 200,000 minors being sex trafficked in the country every year. Mm-hmm. But again,
hard to tell. Yeah. It's a good number now. Let's go to Anthony. He's listening to us today. He has a question for Senator Jean Cole Wells, 206-543-5869. Anthony, what's your question?
Yeah, thank you for this topic, Senator. I'm a retired military, and I've served extensively overseas. And one of the real disturbing things that I saw is not only the fact that child prostitution and sexual servitude exists in so many different countries, including allies of the United States, but the fact that in a lot of these societies, it's considered more of a normative sort of activity, you know, within the society, even though children are being abused, and oftentimes there's powerful, criminal syndicates involved that are pretty bloodthirsty, i.e. the Japanese Yakuza or the Russian Mafia. And you're dealing with countries sometimes that have ineffective or corrupt government and law enforcement at best. So I'm just wondering how much pressure the United States can exert. And I'm kind of disappointed that we haven't exerted more, especially on our allies.
Good question, good question, Anthony. What's our State Department doing? What's the federal government doing to put pressure on countries that are turning a blind eye to this, if not even encouraging it?
Well, I think that our country is actually doing quite a bit. And as I mentioned, the Office of Monitoring and Combating Human Trafficking issues what's called the TIP report, the Trafficking in Persons report every year, and actually grades other countries in terms of their efforts to stop trafficking. For a while, our office did not grade the United States, and many people thought they should. So now the United States is part of that as well. But I think what's really important to recognize is, yes, it's happening in other countries, but it's also happening here. And that's what's hard for a lot of people to grasp.
What's the U.S. grade?
The U.S. rate?
Grade. Did you say the United States is also being
graded? I'm not sure in the most current grade. But the point is that it happens everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I have visited countries and spoken on trafficking, and they have excellent campaigns to alert their citizens. And we're, I think, lagging behind what many other countries are doing. I'm not sure about with Russia, but certainly of the former Soviet Republic countries, there's a lot of trafficking going on. Asia, Southeast Asia is another big area. And what countries are really targeted, it seems to me, are the ones who have had poor economies, and people get pretty desperate, and they can get more easily lured away for thinking that they're going to get a great job. And by the way, labor trafficking is much more pronounced, we believe, than sex trafficking.
What happens in either of these cases when people are finally freed? If it is discovered that they're here They've been trafficked. They're in virtual slavery. Do they return home? What goes on?
That probably varies, but we do have a federal program on that with the T visa, trafficking visa, where people can petition to be able to stay in the country if they've been able to escape their traffickers. We have the most laws of any state in the country, and we have the first ones, and we're trying to really deal with this in significant ways. Two of my bills became law about 3 or 4 years ago that requires that any individual or agency that brings individuals in here to hear from other countries have to provide them with understanding of the federal and state labor laws, and also not keep control of the person's travel documents. But do traffickers do that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, very doubtful. But we have that in place, and we have the Department of Labor Industries has included in all of its work posters that go in all employment personnel offices around the state, information about who to call on this. We also now have posters in rest stops along I-5, and it'll be throughout all of our highways soon, letting people know what they can do.
Senator Wells, I understand as part of your talk for Humanities Washington, you talk about kind of the history of this. Mm-hmm. Back to the mail order brides, and sort of in popular history, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, the popular musical, the TV show about bringing women to Seattle because these lumberjacks didn't have enough women around. You see something perhaps not quite as innocent as the popular portrayal of mail order brides, even in our history?
Well, some of it's in the eye of the beholder. And that's what I love being part of Humanities Washington, because we engage in conversations about what's in literature, what's in history. And certainly when we think of Seattle in the early 1860s, the boom town, and the first mail order brides came through the efforts of Asa Mercer, first, mm-hmm. obviously, a distinguished citizen, and he ended up marrying one and the first president of the University of Washington. But he, there were some funny things going on even there. And if we had more time, I would go into that. But that could be some of the kernels of where all this started, and mm-hmm. if we really looked at it closely. Also, we had the first brothel opening up in 1861. And what was of interest there to me, this was in Pioneer Square, and a man came up here from San Francisco to get it going. And the 1870 U.S. Census for King County listed 11 inmates, and they were called, and they were Indian women, and yeah. they were kept as hurdy-gurdies.
Hurdy-gurdies. We're going to have to leave it there. You're going to have to invite Senator Jean Cole Wells to come speak to your group. That's what Humanities Washington does. It gets speakers on topics having to do with history and culture around the state. Contact Humanities Washington if you'd like to hear more from her and get into some of these questions in much greater depth than we've been able to get into today. Senator Jean Cole Wells, thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Our program produced by David Hyde with Arwin Nix. We get production help from Cameron Drews, Joshua McNichols. Andy Hurst is our engineer. And from KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.